with me, and they remind us of the things in that list. When you pack, here's a tip for you, those that are not good at packing, you should put into your case first the things you're going to need last, and the things you're going to need straight away go at the top. So with that excuse, I'm going to go through that checklist in Ephesians backwards. So we're going to start off with the things at the end of the list and work our way back to the things on the top of the list. So my case will be packed then in order. So that's what we're going to look at. Firstly, when I go away on holiday, I like to read. So I brought with me the book that I'm currently reading. It's a Welsh novel by T. Rowland Hughes, William Jones. I can recommend it, even though I'm only part of the way through. But this is the book I'm currently reading, and so I'm going to put that in first. A book. Because the book reminds us of the Word of God. That's the last thing that was mentioned on our list today. The Word of God, the Bible. This, it says, is the sword of the Spirit. We need the whole armour of God to be strong in our faith. And if you look when you're packing your case, then you put in the sword of God, the Bible. This is the only offensive weapon that's on the list. All the rest are defensive ones, but this is the attacking one. And the Word of God is very powerful. The book of Hebrews describes it like this. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Two edges of that sword. The two witnesses of God's word, the New and the Old Testament. Maybe it's a two-edged sword. It's used both against the enemy and for personal use. Back in ancient times, in the times of Jesus, then soldiers would use their swords for all sorts of things. We think about them as stabbing people. But soldiers often, they were not in combat. There were lots of times of peace. And they would use their swords for all sorts of things. They'd use them for cooking, putting things into the fire. They'd use them for splitting firewood, for cutting ropes that bound captives to set them free. All sorts of things they'd be using their swords for. The Word of God is a practical tool for every area of our life, as well as in fighting the devil. In Bible times, there was no stainless steel like we have today. A soldier would need to clean his sword. If the sword unused, it would become rusty and dull and pitted. It would need to be kept clean and sharpened. Sharpening against a stone or another soldier's sword. Iron sharpens iron. It reminds us in Proverbs. When we study the Bible with others, our skill in the word is sharpened. A soldier traveling in enemy territory should never leave his sword out of reach. In the same way, no disciple of Jesus should ever be far from God's word. So the book that's gone into my case reminds us of the Word of God. Next, we have the helmet of salvation. Well, I haven't got a helmet, but I do have a sun hat, which is very nice. Over the years, as I've lost more and more hair and got sensitive to the sun, I've bought bigger and bigger hats. So in another few years, I'm sure it's going to be out here somewhere, but it's going to be good. This is vital for me. This hat protects my head when I'm out in the sun. It's quite good in the rain as well, which is good here in Wales. But you need to protect your head, not just from the sun, but our heads need protecting. Those of you who, like me, ride horses will wear a hard hat. If you go out on a bike or on a motorbike, you have a helmet or a hat to wear to protect our brains, to protect our brains inside. We need, likewise, to spiritually guard our minds against false teaching, to make sure that we aren't misled by things that aren't true. We protect our minds with the helmet of salvation. And then, as it says earlier on in the book of Ephesians, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. But we're protected our brains. But however good that hat is, and it's a very good hat, it doesn't protect all of me in the sun. Joanne always makes sure that I pack sun cream as well. And this reminds me of the shield of faith. I take this to stop me getting burnt. And the Bible warns us about getting burnt by the flaming arrows of the evil one and tells us to take with us the shield of faith at all times. And this sun cream is like a shield, protects me from getting burnt, and the shield of faith stops me getting spiritually burnt. An ancient warrior's shield was his first line of defense, made of wood or sometimes bronze, big enough to protect the whole body if you crouched down behind it when you were subjected to a hail of arrows. Likewise, faith in Christ's blood is our first defense against the great accuser. The shields of old, of course, were often very distinctive, marked with the insignia or the name or the coat of arms of the name of the king. And that would help soldiers in battle to avoid fighting their own people, fighting their own friends and comrades in the battle. They would declare whose side they were on with their shield. The same way, when the devil sends up flaming arrows of temptation, we hold up the shield bearing the name of the King of Kings, Jesus. Through faith in his name, we stand firm in his mighty power. The armor of God, that's halfway through. We'll have some more in a minute, but we're going to stop to have some worship now and praise God together before we hear of the next three. Here is shoes, of course. Your feet should be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. And the only shoes really that Christians are supposed to wear, isn't it, is sandals. But here's a confession. I don't own a pair of sandals. How did he get the job of Vicar of St. Michael's, you might ask? So I borrowed Joanne's, which are a whole lot prettier anyway, really, to put in the suitcase. So these are Joanne's shoes. She's probably at home looking for them now, actually. Perhaps I should have asked permission. But good footwear is essential when you're going on holiday. You have to pack and make sure that your shoes are suitable for the terrain you're going with. I always put in some walking boots. A few years ago, we were walking up Kadar Idris, a lovely trip up the mountain. I was wearing an old pair, my favourite pair of walking boots. We've got nearly to the top, and we're starting to look down on the amazing views and see the whole world beneath us. And I suddenly was aware that the bottom of my walking boots had come off on one of the shoes, and there was nothing at the bottom at all. I had to pick it back up, put it in place, and tie it on with laces. And you can imagine what came to my mind, knowing me, as I stood there looking down at the world beneath me on Kadar Idris. I thought, what does it gain a man to win the whole world and lose his soul? But the reading that we had reminds us our feet should be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The ground was often rocky in the ancient world, and people going into battle would need sturdy and protective footwear, maybe not quite sandals. On a battlefield near a fort, the enemy might scatter spikes or sharp stones to try and slow an army down, and good shoes were essential. In the Bible, the foot is often a symbol for the direction or the walk of a person's life. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace gives us good footing. We become involved with the spreading of the good news, and that strengthens us and others against the enemy's attacks. So in go the shoes. Next, we have the breastplate of righteousness, which is represented here by my T-shirt. Just in case of nice weather, it's good to have a T-shirt. I should have got one with the church logo on, but I didn't have time to get one of those organized in time. But protect the breast part of the soldier. A wound to the chest for a Roman soldier would usually be rather fatal, so they wore strong breastplates. Spiritual protection is the breastplate of righteousness. That righteousness comes from Jesus. We can't become righteous through our own good works. When Jesus died on the cross, his righteousness became available to all that believe in him through faith. And then God can see us as sinless because of what his Son did for us. It's his righteousness. We can accept Christ-given righteousness to cover us and to protect us. It keeps our hearts strong and pure for God. Interesting to note that in the ancient world, the soldier's breastplate was only at the front. There was no protection at the back. It was assumed that no soldier who was any good would ever turn his back upon the enemy and run away. And we're told here to stand firm in the faith, not to run away when it's get difficult. And when you've done everything, to stand, to be strong in God and to stand firm. So the breastplate of righteousness. And then our last object is something that challenges us when we get back from our holidays. The belt of truth. How many ice creams have you eaten? How many times have you been out to afternoon tea? So here comes the belt of truth. Does it still do up? Well, maybe that depends on where you fit it. It seems to change depending on your age, where you wear the belt. So maybe that would help you fit. In our list of armour, the first thing to put on in this list, hence last in the case, is the belt of truth. The belt for the soldier in Bible times would be a girdle which went round the waist, familiar, but it would hold together all of the soldier's garments, tie them all in place, and it would carry the sheath for his sword. So it's very important. God doesn't want us to point at the truth, but have it wrapped around us. And that belt of truth, holding everything securely in place, fastened, does it do up? We need to be secure in God's truth, wearing the whole armour of God. If I remember to pack everything when I go away on holiday, I have a much better time. We're reminded today by our reading, as disciples of Jesus, that we are called to wear the whole armour of God, not to leave anything behind. It's a checklist. Listen again to those instructions. Be strong in the Lord, his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities and the powers of this dark world. So put on the full armour of God. So when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. As we sit, let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us never to tackle anything without wearing the full armour that you provide for us. May your truth encircle us like a belt. Your righteousness cover us like a breastplate. Your gospel direct our feet. May we have faith that extinguishes all doubts, with the knowledge of salvation firmly in our minds, and the sword of the Spirit always to hand. In the name of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. Amen.